And Eric, I thought it was, I had worked on this earlier in the week. And so I thought it was sanctified and enabled, but enabled is next time. It's 2 weeks from now. So I'm going to talk about two other things, sanctified and one other thing, if the Lord allows me to here, get it all done. All right. We're looking, and it started off in my mind, I thought of it was going to be about 6 or 8 weeks. It's now been, we're in week number 14. Of a lot of good stuff. I really, really didn't know how in-depth to go in some of these things, but I think it has helped a lot of people and been a good encouragement. Doctrine is not a bad word. Doctrine is something that is a foundation for every believer. You need doctrine. You need to know what to believe. You ever heard the phrase there in Ephesians chapter 4 about not being, what's to say, it was a blown around with every wind of doctrine. How does that word go? Yeah. Not being tossed about with every wind of doctrine. If you don't have some strong truths that you hold to, every persuasive speaker is going to come along and you're just going to be following them and then following them like a leaf in the wind. So this is doctrine. And the majority of these things are all pushing and emphasizing eternal security. Every one of them are lock-tight proofs that once you're born again, you cannot get unborn again. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 11, we're going to look at this concept. Oh, let me just, introduction. We've worked all the way through all 18 of these things. Some of them we did 2 or 3 a week, whatever. Last week we talked about we have the victory over sin. Today I want to talk about how we are sanctified. We are sanctified, which means we are both clean and ready to be used. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 11. And such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Now there are, I like how some things are in the past. Look at the first. And such were. That's in the past. Amen. Look back in here in verse 11. Go back to verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But ye are washed. And there's three of things. He says, washed, sanctified, and justified in the name of Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Now, when we talk about sanctified, what does it mean? Well, it means a few things that are really important. The first thing is we've been clean. That's what sanctified means. It means we have no spots as far as God's concerned. Now, I can see spots in you. You can see spots in me. But I want you to show you two verses. Find Ephesians with your right hand and Song of Solomon with your left hand. Ephesians to the right, chapter 5, and Song of Solomon, which is after Psalms and Proverbs, in Ecclesiastes, and then Song of Solomon, chapter 4. All right, Ephesians chapter 5. Brother Dan, would you read Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 to 27?
Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing that should be holy and without blemish.
Wow. So we're to love our wives like Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And he gave himself how often? Once. He gave himself so that he would sanctify and cleanse his church, his people, his bride, that he might cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he would present it to himself. What kind of a church? A glorious church without spot. Now, I use the guy. He's really scrubbing that dish, isn't he? Trying to get the last bit of that spaghetti off of there. Song of Solomon chapter 4. Song of Solomon chapter 4 and verse 7. Listen to Solomon, talk to his bride. Song of Solomon, chapter 4, in verse 7. All famine. Wow, that's a good verse, isn't it? Well, it's true. It's true. But, you know, when it comes to you and me, there are a lot of spots. How could Christ look at us and see no spot in us? Because He cleaned us up. We've been sanctified. We've been cleaned. That's why a Christian who used to sit and watch such filth on television now finds himself uncomfortable. Because once you get clean, you know when you start to get filthy, you're like, man, I don't want to get dirty again. That's because you've been clean, you've been sanctified. And thank God you have that. Before you were saved, you didn't have that. You'd go from filth to filth to filth, and you didn't know how thick and how wicked all that filth was on top of you. Now that you're saved, it ought to be apparent that you go, man, I feel dirty. Amen. We've been cleaned. We've been washed where there is no spot in us. Secondly, it means we've been made holy in the sight of God. I don't understand this, but I sure do like it. Exodus chapter 13. Back to the left. Exodus chapter 13. When you think of things that are holy, Pat, you don't think of your husband, or you don't think of your friends. I don't mean to be derogatory, sorry, but you don't think of people. Holy. What do you mean holy? He's a sinner. And I love him. Anyway. But look at this. Exodus chapter 13. Now wait a minute. Have I got this out of order? I got it in the wrong. My order here is different. Let me deal with it this way. Okay? Actually, I want to do it the right way. It means we belong to God first. Then we'll come back to holy in just a second. Exodus 13, Pat, and verse 1 and 2. All right, now listen to what he says. Sanctify to me the firstborn, which means this. Imagine the government. What do they do as soon as you get paid? They reach into your pocket and they go, that's mine. And they take a chunk out of it, don't they? But you see, they robbed God of that honor. Because God says, the first fruits of every area of our life, God says, that's mine. It belongs to me. And so rarely do we even think about, most people, I'm going to be really, really in your face for a moment. Most people tithe off of what's left over after the government has robbed you. But that's telling God, God, they have the first part. They sanctified my wallet. And he belongs. He deserves the first fruit, doesn't he? So when somebody has been sanctified, that means they now belong to God first. Now I know you're married and I know your husband needs you, but you know what God wants? He wants you first. You say, well, I love my family most of all. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God first with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. You see, we get things out of order. Sanctified means we belong to God. We've been set apart from the world and reserved for God. Israel was set apart from all other nations so they could belong just to God. Actually, he called them, these are my people. That's what he called them, didn't he? The Levites, God said, they're a special tribe. They belong just to me. And believers, we've been called to be separate from the world so we can belong to him. Now, we go back, we've been made holy. This is wild. Did you know saints are Christians? All believers are saints. They may not all act like it, but they are. Go to Romans chapter 15 and verse 25. Romans chapter 15. In verse 25 and 26, Leo, if you would please, Romans 15, 25 and 26. Of Macedonia, Achaia. Now, where were those poor saints? They were in Jerusalem. Not all saints are in heaven. Okay, let's look at Ephesians. Go to the right a few pages. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 1, Andrew. Go ahead. So you're not just people. You're not just Christians. You're saints. Because we have been sanctified. That's what saint, sanctified, they both have the same root word. They have the same meaning. We're saints. I mean, I like calling you Brother Dan, but there's no wrong problem with calling him Saint Daniel. Saint Kathy. Saint Catherine. That's right. Amen, St. Janan. It's awesome. Look at chapter 2 and verse 19. You're in Ephesians. Chapter 2 and verse 19. Wow. I'm a fellow citizen with all the great saints. I mean, you think about great men and women of God in the Old Testament, we'd say, oh, they're all great saints. I'm a fellow citizen with them. There's no hierarchy in God's kingdom. We're all brethren. So, saints not only live in heaven, but they live down here as well. They live down the road. They live over in Westwood Heights. They live down in Cove. They live here on earth. Fourthly, sanctified means we have been made usable by God. Now, from the moment of salvation, what happens is this. Remember that plate that was scrubbed? Do you know why somebody scrubs and tries to remove all of the spots away from a plate? So that you can use it. Amen? Why would God spend all that time cleaning you up, taking away all the record that God had against you and the devil had against you? Why would He spend all that time working on your conscience, trying to clean you up so He can use you? So He can lay you out and say, there, that's all eat. That's why God sanctifies us, and so He can use us. It means from the moment that you were born again, you say, I don't know what I can do. God already said, I'm already using you. I'm already using you, Tony, to be an influence in your home. Remember when you first got saved and you didn't know how to win your family, but all of a sudden, just by your changed life, God was using you, wasn't He? You were sanctified, which meant you were made usable. Now let's go back to that concept of being holy. Because we got to get that thing in our head, all right? Let's do 1 Corinthians 3, 16 and 17. Have you got your Bible? Nope. Then we'll pass it over to St. Pat there in the back. 1 Corinthians 3, 16 and 17, please. All right, where's the temple? All right, point to the temple. Yes, you're pointing at the right temple. Very good. Now, okay. You deal with your temple, I'll deal with mine. Amen. This temple is what? Holy. That's a crazy concept. And God, listen, you mess with this, you mess with your life. God meant you to live 60, 70, 80, 90 years. He meant for you to. When you start cutting that short, you don't eat right, you don't sleep right, you don't take care of this life, you start putting in all kinds of stupid things like cigarettes and prescription drugs that you don't need, and all these things in order for you to get by, you do all of that, and God says, I'm going to have to, you start defiling your temple, I'll have to destroy that place that was special. He can kill the body, can't he? And that goes for the filth on television. That goes for the filth, the music, everything. Whatever you put in there. Because God considers us holy. You don't go and defile it. Hebrews 10, 8 to 10. And listen to these words carefully. Give everybody a chance to get there. Who's the He? Who came to do His will? Jesus came to do God's will, and He took away the first covenant to establish the new covenant, the second covenant. Now, verse 12. I'm sorry, verse 10. So by His choice, I've been sanctified. I have once for all been set apart. I have been cleaned. I have been made holy. I belong to God, and I'm usable by God because of Jesus Christ. Alright? At salvation, I was made holy. Just like an angel. I can imagine God up in heaven going, Michael, get over here. I got a job for you to do. And He doesn't go, now Michael, have you been reading your Bible? Michael, go back there and read another 10 chapters. Gabriel, get over here. Michael's not ready. He's not quite holy today. So I've got to use you. No, that's not what. God looked at an angel, and the angel was ready to go, isn't he? All the holy angels, the Bible says. You know what? God wants to look down to His church. He wants to look down to His people and see a lot of people who stay holy. So when He looks down to them, He made us holy. He expects us to stay holy. We're going to talk about that in a minute. We are sanctified. Now, sanctification has three tenses. Three different time frames. Let's look at those three tenses. The first one is the past, which we're talking about mainly. Find my page. Sanctification is three tenses. There was a one-time event where we have been made holy in God's eyes. Somebody watching you, I remember getting up off of my knees when I got saved. Somebody looking at me would not have seen a glow. They wouldn't have seen a halo. They would not have heard the angels. I thought I did. But I didn't look any different, didn't sound any different, I didn't smell any different. But as far as God was concerned, I was holy. From that moment on, my sin nature, and anybody who's been born again, your sin nature had been judged on the cross and was now forgiven. And it's been done and dusted. We have been made holy in God's eyes. Perfectly holy. Next time the devil comes along and he tries to get you to doubt your salvation, realize you couldn't save yourself. Christ saves. And either you let Him save you or you're trying to work it out. You don't work it out. You yield and you let Him save a wretch like you, and it's done. The devil says, well, you're not living very holy. Go, but I am anyway. According to God, I am sanctified. We've been made holy in God's eyes. It is done and dusted. He says we are justified. We are sanctified. We are washed. Now, in the present, though, this is where the rubber meets the road. In our past, nothing can come along. No one can come along and dirty up that event. You could not soil my salvation. Nobody can do that. But we can get dirty now, can't we? You're just walking along the side of the road. There's a bit of rain. There's a bit of a cloud in the sky. You forgot your umbrella. And somebody baptizes you. Amen. You're minding your own business, and something you hear, something you see, and you're filthy. I mean, it happens, amen? We get dirty. Our flesh will do wrong. But thank God there's a predictive gap between our flesh and our soul. What's that gap? circumcision, spiritual circumcision, that God came along and cut it so that my flesh can sin, my soul stays clean. Our flesh can do wrong, it'll give in to temptation. But thankfully, we can easily be cleaned up. 1 John 1:7. Let's go to 1 John 1:7, Ruth. I'll show you the three ways that God expects us to get clean when we get backwashed. What do you want to call it? When you get the culture, when the culture around us just defiles you. You ever been around somebody? Well, I'm not going to look at Eric because it's all the time. You ever been around somebody and just their demeanor, their attitude rubs off on you? Maybe they're hypercritical. Maybe they're just, they're having a bad year. And maybe they're bringing just stuff they've been watching, stuff they listened to, they're bringing it into your presence, and they're not telling you stuff, but you're picking it up. And then you walk away and you go, man, I was rejoicing, now I'm crawling on the ground. How do you get cleaned up? Let me show you the three ways. 1 John 1:7. Go ahead. So what can cleanse me from any sin I encounter now? The blood of Christ. Amen. Now, chapter 1, verse 9. Now, next one. So, I'm going along in my Christian life and I'm doing pretty good and then, flat tire. I'm given to some stupid temptation. How do I get back on the road? How do I get cleaned up and back right with God? First one, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. I need the blood. I need to claim it. I need to believe it's still capable of washing and keeping me clean. I need to walk with God. But the second thing is, according to that verse, what do I need to do? I need to confess it. I need to say, God, I blew it. Don't try to hide it. Don't try to ignore it. I need to confess it. Third thing, John 15 and verse 3. The Gospel of John now, chapter 15 and verse 3. If you ever feel just take a bath. Take a spiritual bath. Just let it go in. Read. Don't just read, well, I read four verses. No, come on. Read 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 chapters. Let it do some serious scrubbing. And it'll clean you. Alright? In the present, sanctification has the ability to be soiled. And I can get it quickly cleaned up. But aren't you glad that there's a future? One of these days, you'll be absolutely perfect with no sin at all. That's sanctification. That's the work of sanctification all the way to the end. So, until that day, guess what we need to do? Work at staying clean. Stay that way. Some of you parents, you have a little child, and you bathe them, you dress them, you've got them ready for church, and what are your last words before you go finish getting yourself ready? Stay that way. And God, after you've read your Bible, after you've been in church, after you have heard the Word of God, after you've gotten right with God, after you've prayed, and you've confessed any kind of sin, and you've gotten your heart on fire for God, you know what God says? Stay that way now. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Brother Lauser. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 1. That's my goal. I want to perfect. I remember when I was a child, Darren, and I wanted to ride a bike without stabilizers so bad. And I remember telling my dad, "Dad, let go, let go, let go, let go, let go. I'm fine, I'm fine." And he let go, you know. But I kept getting up, and I kept trying to ride that bike because I wanted to perfect it. And you need to say, you know what? I've got a tendency to fall, but I want to perfect holiness in my life. You got to do it working on the flesh and what other area of our life? The spirit. Now, that's not the capital S spirit, the little s spirit, which means my spirit. Things that are going on inside that nobody else knows is going on. I need to keep that area clean. And if we don't get clean on a daily basis, what is God going to have to do? I have to chase him. And believe me, he will. If you don't regularly get cleaned up, I have to warn you. If you don't regularly get cleaned up and you continue to get off course and you continue to go in the way of the world, God is no negligent parent. He will not let you go so far. At some point, if you don't want to get right, he will set you aside and say, "I can't use you." I think that would be the saddest words for a Christian, for God and you to go, "Lord, I'm ready to be used." And the Lord said, "Not now. Maybe later, but not now. I got to go on. I've got somebody else now." That's a shame. That's a shame. So until that day, we need to stay clean. 2 Timothy 2:21, "If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." We need to. Sanctification. We are sanctified. But right now, I'm trying to stay clean. Now, I can never become unsanctified. I can never lose my sainthood, amen? But I can get dirty. That's the truth. But one day, not even the devil will get at me. All right, any questions before we go to the next one? We have a job to do. From the moment that you and I were born again, God gave us a job. God gave us quite a few. Revelation chapter 4. You know, it is a great thing. I count it a great privilege, and it's not the same for everybody. Don't get me wrong. Don't compare yourself with me or anybody else. But I got saved in June, and it wasn't, and I still don't know when it was, but it was a few weeks later, we had a missions conference. We had 8 missionaries speaking 2 each night, and each time they preached, it was like somebody was ripping my heart out of my chest. And it was in the middle of that, we were going every single night, Sunday all day, and then Monday night, for 2 hours. I thought it was normal. Then Tuesday night, then Wednesday night. By Wednesday night, I had heard 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 different missionary preaching. I never heard that much preaching in my life. And by Wednesday night, I threw up the white flag, and I came forward, and at that step of the podium leading up to that pulpit there, I fell on my face and I said, "God, if you can use me, I'm available." And I remember God going, "Okay." Did God talk to you? I don't know, but I thought he did. And I knew from that moment on, I was going to do something for God. And then it wasn't just too much longer before I bought me a wall map and I put it on the wall and I started to pray through every country. It didn't start on the east and go to the west. I started at the bottom where all the maps, I'm sorry, all the flags of the world were. And you start with, what's the first, Albania or something. And I went, "Where is that?" And I looked at it and went up there and I said, "I wonder if there are any lost people there. I never heard of Albania. I know about Alabama." So I looked down the next one, Azerbaijan. I wonder if there are any lost people there. And then I went to Bulgaria and Burma and then to Chad and Congo and then to, what's a D's country? Denmark. And you know, there are 200 and some odd countries. But I got down and I kind of joke. I spent a couple of weeks doing this thing and I got to the eyes and I started jumping around. I said, "There are a bunch of eyes here." And I looked at Israel and I went, "Maybe Israel. Oh, no, I'd have to learn Hebrew." I went, no. I looked at Iceland. I'm a Texan.
No.
That's how spiritual I was, okay? And then I looked at Ireland. I said, I wonder if there are any lost people there. And I just, it was like the Lord said, let's go. And so within a few months of me getting saved, I knew what God's will for my life was. And I set forward doing it. I prayed a very simple prayer. I said, Lord, if you want me in Ireland, I need you to... I didn't know, but I prayed, would you just open doors? I didn't know that was a spiritual thing to pray. If you don't want me to go, slam him in my face. Make it hard so that I realize that's not where I should be. And God began to miraculously make opportunity for me to come to Ireland. The point is this. From the moment I was saved, God had a job for me. If you've been saved 10 years and you don't know what God wants to do with you, wouldn't it be wise to say, God, could you use someone like me? Now, that doesn't mean that you have to compete and say, I want to be like pastor. Don't do that. But, Lord, I just want to do something. You saved me and you gave me something to do, but I don't know what it is. And I would pray and ask until God shows you. He may say, I'll show you later. You couldn't handle it now. But at least you ought to be wanting. Amen? So, let's talk about a few of them. The first one, most important thing that you should be doing, whether you have anything else in mind, is to please God. In Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11. Hannah, Revelation 4 and verse 11. So why was everything created? Was it for my pleasure and your pleasure, Hannah? For His pleasure. Let me read this other verse. 2 Timothy 2:4 says, no man that warreth, talk about our spiritual war, entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Why? That he may please Him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Let me ask you, does your life please God? Does your life, if you step out of your skin, and you looked at your life on a daily, normal basis, not when you feel very spiritual, but when you're normal, does your life please God? Or does the devil get the glory? Because your first job to do as a Christian from the moment you're saved is to please Him. Make Him happy. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that existed within me. Bless His holy name. Why don't you be a blessing to God? He's already a blessing to us, isn't He? Second thing, praise God. 1 Peter 2:9, Miss Amanda. 1 Peter 2:9. So why are you a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people? Why did God make you all of that? To show that ye should show forth the praise. What's your vocabulary like? Do you praise Him with your lips? Or do you complain a lot? What's your spiritual thrill level? I like that question. What do you get excited about? I mean, what thrills you? You know what you praise? You praise what you really like. What you really enjoy. Some of you, I can tell, don't really enjoy some things. You enjoy some things, some spiritual things, like I enjoy Brussels sprouts. And the problem is not in church. The problem is not in the preaching. The problem is in the heart that says, you know, Lord, You saved me. I have a responsibility to praise You, whether things are going good or whether things are going rotten. So praise the Lord. Matthew 21 says this, and when the chief priests saw the wonderful things that Jesus did and the children crying in the temple saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Oh, they were sore displeased and said unto Him, Hearest thou what these say? Jesus saith unto them, Yea, have you never read? Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings
has God perfected, pray. Sometimes, what is he saying? It's embarrassing when people start praising God. So go ahead and just praise him anyway. Because you were saved, and from the moment of salvation, you should have gotten up and said, well, praise God, it worked. You know, I know some people, I heard one guy preach it, and I like it. He said, I wish I was a Pentecostal. And you say, why? He said, because I remember the day I got saved, and if I was a Pentecostal, I'd get saved over and over and over again, because I liked it so much. But you know what? I'm not a Pentecostal, but I do wish I could experience that again and again and again. And you know what? I try to do it every day. I try to just remember how good God has been in saving a wretch like me. I just praise Him. So should you. Third, walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. From the moment you were saved, the Holy Spirit moved in, not so He could sit there and be, you know, an observer. The Holy Spirit moved inside of you to give you the power from the new birth to live for God. Galatians 5:16, Paul. Wow. Now, to walk in the Spirit means you need to be filled with the Spirit. How many of you have ever been filled with rage? I'm looking at the women. Gentlemen, we've been filled with lusts. We've been filled with filth. We've been filled with covetousness. Can we not learn to be filled with the Spirit? God put His Holy Spirit in us, and if we would just yield to Him. Now, the word walk is, that's how you live. He's not asking you to run, fly, walk. Walk in the Spirit. Your normal habit, your normal way of living should be filled with the Spirit. Is your day by day empowered by your flesh or by the Holy Spirit of God? You have a job to do. You have a job to wake up in the morning and to say, Heavenly Father, I ask that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help my thoughts and my heart and every part of my inside be filled with Him so that I don't sin. In Jesus' name. That's a good thing to pray. Walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. You ought to come out of that bedroom after you've prayed, and people ought to say, yep, he's okay. He's safe. Walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. Next one. Kind of overlap, but you have a job to do. You need to keep yourself unspotted from the world. And this is a job in itself. James 1:27, Marlene. James 1:27. We're almost done. So, you know, you find out somebody's having a hard time. Maybe they don't have a father. Maybe their parents are both dead. Maybe they're in an orphanage. Maybe you got somebody and they're just going through a hard time. You need to go out of your way to minister to them. People call that religion, don't they? They expect religious people to have compassion on people who have needs, right? Well, pure religion, undefiled before God the Father, is that you do visit the fatherless and the widows, but also keep yourself unspotted from the world. Just as much effort caring about their needs, you better care about whether you're getting pulled in, sucked in, tricked in to some filthy sin. And it takes effort. From the moment you got saved, as we said in the previous section on sanctification, we've been sanctified, we need to stay clean. And that's a full-time job. So don't go, I didn't realize I was going to get that messed up. You got to take it serious. That as a Christian, you got to keep yourself unspotted from the world. Second, we already did that.
If man therefore purge himself from these, he can be a vessel unto honor.
Let me move on.
Be ambassadors for Christ.
2 Corinthians 5.
Edward the Finitan. 2 Corinthians chapter 5.
An ambassador is a representative of a foreign nation. That's what an ambassador is. And you are an ambassador of a heavenly kingdom. So from the moment you got saved, you know what you need to be, and you know what God has for you to do?
To be a soul winner.
You say, well, do I have to go out on the streets? Do I have to go door knocking? Not at all. You can be a soul winner because people come. You know, some of you ladies, you got a little kid, and some of you got more coming. and you're not able to get out of the house very often. Sinners will come to your door. You can be a soul winner, right? When they come to your door, they want to get you to change telephone companies. Try to get them to change God. Amen? Be a soul winner. See, I'm not saved very long. All you have to do is tell them what happened to you. Sing to them Amazing Grace. The first 100, 200 people that I ever witnessed to, like a child, I was like, a simple good test. Answered the following questions. I just read from a tract, man, at the door, trying to win them to Christ. You can do that. Matter of fact, it makes a strong Christian out of you, because you learn that you've got no strength, and then God gives you strength, especially when they mock you, and you go, now wait a minute. You're talking about my Savior, and all of a sudden all the shakes go away. So the idea is, from the moment you got saved, you don't have to have training classes and be indoctrinated in all of this. You just need to tell them what happened to you. And give them the gospel. Tell them what saved you. I always tell people, you know, when I go door knocking, I use the verses that God used to convict my heart of sin. And that may be different than what God used. John 3:16 may be the most important verse to your life. To me, the verse that I always start off with, I try to always start off with, is Hebrews 11, 8, no, hold on. Hebrews 9:27. And as it is appointed to men once to die, but after this the judgment. Boy, that got me. I said, what judgment? He said, glad you asked. And I start off with the verses that worked on me. You use the verses that God you, and be a ambassador. You know, we are walking, talking, living Bibles. Ever since you've been saved. It's not something we do as a hobby. It's just something that we are 24/7, ever since we got saved. Be an ambassador for Christ. Serve the Lord Jesus in everything. This is our calling. Go to Romans 6:22. Who have I got next? Myra. Romans 6:22. Is that the right verse? But I'll find out here. Yes. Romans 6:22. Either one of you, Myra, if you could do Romans 6:22, you're okay. All right. I used to be a servant of sin. Used to be a servant of the devil. But ever since I've been made free, isn't that a wonderful thought? I have been made, I am. It's not what I want to become. It's what I am. I am become. Look at the words. And you have become servants to God. The fruit of my sin was death. But now I have the fruit of serving God is holiness. And in the end, I get to enjoy everlasting life. Serve God in everything you do. That is your calling. You say, well, better, what is your calling? To serve God. It might be in Ireland. It might be in Iceland. Oh, may it not be. But wherever I am, I should serve God. Amen? That is my job. I get up in the morning, I serve others because I'm serving God. Lastly, suffer for His name's sake. Acts 9:16. Suffer for His sake. Acts 9. This is something you're going to have to do. Something you have to choose to do as an item on your to-do list. Acts 9:16. This is Ananias talking to the Lord Jesus about Saul of Tarsus, who's just gotten saved. And Jesus fills him in on a little secret about the life that Saul was going to lead. You'd think that Jesus would say, oh, Saul's going to be the greatest Christian who ever lived. Saul's going to preach to kings and emperors. He's going to start hundreds of churches. No, listen to what Jesus tells Ananias Paul going to do. Acts 9:16. It's you, Dan. Yes, sir. Wow. So in the call of God to Saul of Tarsus when he got saved, the calling included suffering. So next time that you are going through a very bad day, bad week, pull out your list of to-dos and go, well, at least I got that done. And praise God anyway. Because, go to Philippians 1:29. It is part of the call of God ever since you were saved. Philippians 1:29, Marcus. All right. God not only gave me the gift of salvation, but He gave me the gift of suffering too. Man, I don't like that. Most people get saved because they want to live a better life, because they want to get out of trouble. One of the things that ever since you were saved, one of the things that you're going to have to do is to endure. Just keep on going, no matter what comes. All right? Two more here. Let's see. Colossians. Go to the right. Colossians 1:24. And Nicola, can you read for me Colossians 1:24? It's like two pages later. Colossians 1:24. Wow. Paul rejoiced in his sufferings for others. He was making up. You got to think about it. He's actually going, I'm making up for other people who aren't suffering. Yeah, that's a little humorous in my book. I think he's sort of laughing, going, a lot of other people aren't suffering, so I'm getting extra suffering. You know, it's nice when the dinner's all done and there's leftover pie. And you reach over and you go, nobody else wants it, I'll take it. That's what we normally want. But when other people aren't having a bad day and a Christian is going through some suffering, Paul says, I gladly took it on, even though others weren't having a bad day. And he rejoiced in it because he said, I'm doing it for His sake and I'm doing it for the church's sake, for the body's sake. He cared about others. And you know what all that is? It's the will of God. So what is the will of God for my life? Uh-oh. To wake up in the morning and live a life that pleases God. All day long, make sure you praise God. Walk in the power, let me go back, walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Keep yourself unspotted from the world. Be an ambassador for Christ right where you're at. Well, I wish I was a missionary. I would go to China. Go next door. Amen. Be an ambassador right where you are. Serve the Lord Jesus. Somebody else, you know what? The people that you're interacting with, they're not worthy of serving. He is. And so when you're serving them, serve Him like you're serving Jesus. And then suffer for His name's sake. That helps you understand the will of God. Amen. That's our job. God, from the moment you got saved, He said, I've got a job for you to do. Daniel's done all kinds. Brother Dan's done bus ministry. He's done soul winning. I mean, it's whatever, because he wanted to just do whatever God wanted him to do. And I hope you do too. I hope you do too. Now we've got only one more to go. I'm actually going to finish prayerfully. The Lord tarries, so the rapture doesn't happen. 2 weeks from now, I will be able to talk about being amazing. All right. Any questions? Any questions? Dear Jay? Let's stand.